I don't know why, but I just feel especially excited about sharing some simple truth with you today from God's Word. And if you turn with me to Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 9th verse, where the Word of God said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." For we'll reap in God's due season if we faint not. If we faint not. Don't be weary. We shall reap. It's going to be at the right time and in the right way. Praise God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 8:2, "And God remembered Noah." The Word of God also tells us in Genesis 19:29 that in all of that that was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah and so on, God remembered his covenant, and Lot was spared out of that burning inferno called Sodom and Gomorrah. God remembered his covenant. God remembers his covenant today, and there's another portion of God's Word, there's just all kinds that I could call to memory today, but over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I'll be there in just a moment. You might beat me there. Praise the Lord. Got too many notes in my Bible. Thank you, Lord. Here we are. 1 Corinthians 15, and the Word of God tells us, when I can turn this page, there we go. In verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, I'm just going to address the soul winners, but this applies to all of us. To know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I brought a message recently on don't throw your gold away, and how quickly and how easily that can happen. And then we can become weary in doing the right thing. You know, honestly, I was going down the freeway this week, and I was just thinking, I never thought I'd have the responsibility I have at this time in my life, but it's right. It's in God's time for this time. And there has been such a special grace of God upon my life. The last 18 months, I've faced some of the greatest challenges of my life in ministry. I don't say that lightly, but his grace has been there every step of the way. And I just want to encourage you, whatever you face and wherever you are today, God remembers you and God knows you. And the will of God is to see you through. So let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I'll tell you, you just can't put a value on a real New Testament church, especially when things hit the fan in your life. My conscience is as clean as a conscience could be, that this church, every time someone genuinely had a need that we could do something about, we stood up. We stood with, we prayed, we helped. Whether it be children that went astray or marriage that went astray or things in individuals' lives that you wouldn't believe if you knew the full story. And so when I look across an audience, I see miracles, miracles, miracles. Not throwaways, but miracles. Not you have no place here because you've had a problem in your life. No, but miracles of amazing grace. Praise God. And what I'd like to just share for a few moments, as I felt the Lord shared it with me, that God is a God who remembers. He remembered Noah. He remembered Noah. And he remembers us. And when the world was destroyed by water, which God said would never happen again, that's what the covenant of the rainbow is all about. He remembered Noah. He remembered Abraham. And I could just go through the Word of God and tell us of the times that God remembered His Word. He remembered His covenant. You know, really, all we have record of is 10 times that God spoke to Abraham. And yet, he's the father of faith. I mean, I couldn't say too much about Abraham. Yes, he had failures in his life. Yes, we've all had some failures in our life. We haven't lived everything just perfectly. But out of the 10 times that God spoke to Abraham, he rose to the top. He responded. And it was his obedience and his faith to those 10 utterances of God, utterances, promises, covenant promises, that changed his life and is still changing all of our lives. Abraham is our father of faith. You know that, don't you? You say, well, that's Old Testament, yes, but you go to Romans and it tells us that as many as are of faith are the children of Abraham. And so I'm part of the Abrahamic covenant. I'm not part of that heathen thing, the Tower of Babel back in the Old Testament. A lot of people are living by that today, and a lot of things are under that flag and banner. But thank God there was a man by the name of Abraham that God said, we're going to turn this Babel thing around. And I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And if you'll just do what I say to do and go where I say to go, and if you'll just obey me, Abraham, you're going to have a life that it would be hard to believe. And I think without all the gadgets, the toys, the things that have our interest during the day, he's out there on the burning sands living in a tent. And God Almighty says something to him, and he responds. He responded. Some people think, I've read some historians think that he was the mayor of the city where he lived when God called him. But God said, Abraham, I'm calling you to go. I'm calling you to do this. And he did it, and he obeyed God, and we're all blessed because of it. So God remembered Noah. God remembered Abraham. God remembers. He's a God who does not forget. Can you say amen? And God remembered Abraham. Let me just go through some things that I'm not trying to be eloquent. I'm just laying it out like I felt God gave it to me. God remembers all our prayers that were prayed in faith believing. Now, prayer won't hurt you, but if you don't pray in faith, it won't necessarily help you. Any prayer should be a prayer of faith. Whatever it's for, directions on the highway to find something, the Lord helps me quite often in that department. Amen. And we remember that we put our keys in a place where we wouldn't forget them, so we would forget them. But God knew where Saul's donkeys were, and God knows where things are that we misplace. God knows. And we're going to need that all of our life. All of our prayers of faith, your prayers are not in vain. God remembers your prayers. And I want to say, thank God, God has not answered some of my prayers when I thought he should have and how I thought he should have, because he did a much better job on his clock and on his calendar. God remembers and God rewards all of our prayers. Also, God remembers and God rewards all of our giving. All of our giving. You know, one day I was in a restaurant and I wanted some bottled water. And the only bottled water they had cost more than about what a Coke would cost, or, you know, something of that nature. And I was kind of on the inside, well, they're getting my money for food, and then, you know, we get a high price here. But, you know, I began to think, if I ordered a Coke, I would know there was a charge for that. Or if I ordered a Dr. Pepper, whatever. But to get a bottle of water that is good for me, hopefully better for me than tap water on that occasion, why should I fuss about the price of water when I wouldn't fuss about the price of a Coke? Sometimes we just get the cart before the horse, and we don't realize how blessed we are. But God remembers and God rewards all of our giving. You're in a church that receives a number of offerings. We don't hide the offerings under the back pew, and I have no one in mind when I say this, but that's just a little thought that I have a big question mark there. If we hid a bucket behind the platform or somewhere up in the balcony under a pew that was obscure, and if you can find the bucket, you can put your tithe in. that's like playing games to me. Okay, if that's what God says, well, that's what. But I'm not ashamed to give my money before God and everybody. Amen. It doesn't make me any more holy or any more righteous, but we're in a church where we do receive some extra offerings, but we do extra things. And if your car stays in the garage all the time, you don't need any extra money for gasoline and oil changes and maintenance and whatever, because you're not using the automobile. It stays in the garage. Someone made a joke about a company that said, you know, we give discounts on all careful drivers. Someone said, yeah, someone that keeps their car in the garage all the time. I need mine. You need yours. And when it comes to our giving, God remembers and God rewards. I've made some decisions that a lot of preachers don't make. We've made some financial concessions. We should have laid off half the staff after the tornado. Not because I was mad at anybody, but it probably would have been. But there were folks that after a few years forgot to be grateful for the fact that they still had a job. Didn't realize the expense or the cost or the personal side of it that Joe and I had to step up and help to keep things going forward. This church is not where it is by fluke or by luck. It's by the grace of God that this church has survived and that this church is still winning souls in a greater way than ever before and helping people. And now here we are in a time of new beginnings. Conquerors Club is doing great. Conquerors Club is just doing great. Brother Glenn Tidwell and the young people, they're doing a great job there and off to a great start. I mean, the vital signs are good here. Vital signs are good. And I just believe we're going to see the goodness of God in a new way. But in the midst of it all, there is giving involved. And we have some people in this church that have given strong, and they've given heavy. Talking, one of our men has given part of the heaviest year of giving of his life. But he said, God has blessed me, and this church is getting something done. I'm thankful to be a part of a church like this. Because these extra offerings aren't for anything except to do the work of God and to keep us all going forward, to keep a Christian, help keep a Christian school going forward, to help an outreach. Outreach costs money, yes. But what value would you place on one genuine born-again experience? Now, let me say something for the several dozen time that I've said it. These numbers that we give you, we're not drunk on numbers. And we're not trying to impress anybody by these numbers of outreach. Only God knows the heart. And only God knows how many are genuinely saved and so on. But the thing that God impressed me with is this. That when the final day and we stand before the Lord, whatever that number is, can never truthfully say, no one ever told me about Jesus. And that's a big deal. Amen. Yes, I pray God that every one of them was genuinely born again, and I believe the high percentage of them are. And we give you the numbers because there were real people out there that were doing real things and witnessing, and they were there. I mean, we're giving you factual reports. Now we're having other churches that are coming in and learning, and they're already back in their home now winning people to Jesus. It's phenomenal. But you know, all of our witnessing and going out and knocking on doors, and busing people, all of our efforts to reach people, God remembers and God rewards. This church would not be here if it hadn't been for the revival that we had among the counterculture young people years ago back in the post office building. When I said God will do anything that's right and anything that works, and God sent a motley crew by, but out of that came 13 weeks of revival and then an explosion that ultimately we had to move out of that location and move downtown. God saw the going. God saw the giving. God saw the witnessing. Praise God. All of our going in the name of the Lord. It's been years ago. We were downtown. One night God spoke to me and said, go to your brother. I said, God, I don't know where he lives. He had gone through a very upheaval time in his life. Marriage had broken up and his heart was broken and he just separated himself from everybody. I don't think mother, any of us knew where he was. We knew he was in Fort Worth. God said, go to your brother. I almost missed God, but I said, okay, God, I don't know where he lives. I think it's somewhere out south. I got in my car. Was it 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning? And so help me God, it's like an angel was turning the steering wheel. I pulled up to a group of apartments, and there was one apartment that had a light on ground level. I pulled up as close as I could drive, knocked on the door. My brother was freaked out. He said, how did you know I was here? And I won't go into all the story, but he was contemplating that night, should I live or should I just go into eternity? God sent his brother across town. Was that worth obeying God? Did God remember and God reward that act of obedience? Amen. And of course, God's turned his life around and it's a different life, you know, since that time. But I obeyed the Lord in faith obedience. And God honored that. You know, God remembers and God rewards all of our faithfulness. We have some of our people. We have people that have been with this church. Brother Cooper was in the first service that we had, Wayne Cooper. And I see a dwindling number of those that have been in this house almost from the beginning. And you know, God sees that. Hallelujah. Katie, I see your head between two. Thank you. You people don't know what you mean to me. You that have been with us for a long time, just to see you come to the house of God, and on a Sunday when young people were freaked out about what the weather might do, here's a mother, a great-grandmother, just drove a number of miles to come to church. God bless you. God rewards that. He blessed me with it. You bless me every time I see you. You know, as God sees every time that you suffer temporary loss because you chose to do the right thing. Seems like I've had more than my share of disappointments. Well, I guess if you stay with something for a period of time, you do. But there are times when I had to do what was right. I had to make the choice that was right. And sometimes it's been with ministers, and sometimes it's been with lay people. And there are people that don't like me because I did the right thing. And I would not bend and do the wrong thing or bypass something that needed to be taken care of. I'm a man of honesty. I'm a man of integrity. I tell the truth. I do not lie from this pulpit. I don't think there'd be anything left of me but a smoking, burned out tree if I did that type of thing. And there are relationships and friendships and things that I've had to leave by the wayside because I chose to do the right thing. And I would not compromise. Every move of God, you know, there's always a challenge to compromise in every great move of God. The 93 revival, among many others, I had preachers tell me that's going to ruin your church. I said, if it ruins it, we'll raise up another one. But I'm not going to back off of genuine Holy Ghost New Testament revival. I'm not going to do it. Amen. And God honored that. And I believe that, among many other things, is why we're still a church today. And we've come through the fire, and we've come through the flood, and we've come through the craziness of the evil one, of the tornado, but God brought us through. Every time you suffered temporary loss because you chose to do the right thing, God remembers and God rewards. Every time you held up your pastor's weary hands, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. Sometimes people that you've helped the most forsake you the quickest. Really, it is. And these last few months, I've had some attacks on my body. I don't like doctors and hospitals. I mean, I like them personally, but I'm not a doctor person. I'd a lot rather visit somebody in the hospital than have to go myself for some procedure or whatever. I've been in a time when I've needed people to lift up my arms and be loyal and faithful to this house. And it's amazing sometimes you look around, people that receive the most blessings out of this house just disappear. Just disappear on you. You try to make a phone call. I tried to make 5 phone calls to a man who was supposed to be so right on, but he didn't have the integrity to pick up my call. And we've done nothing but help. But see, that goes with it. That goes with it. And that's why I've learned to do whatever you do. If I feed somebody, if I help somebody, unless I forget, I say, I do this in the name of Jesus. Because if you do what you do in the name of Jesus, then the reward is with God. Everyone's not going to appreciate you doing the right thing. Everyone's not going to appreciate you obeying God. But God does. And every time you've held up your pastor's weary hands and arms, and we saw victory. It only takes 2 people to hold up a pastor's arms, one on each side, one on each side. And I thank you, so many of you, what a blessing you have been. So as God remembered Noah and God remembered Abraham, so God remembered Job. In a conversation with the evil one, I don't understand all the dynamics of that. I just know it's word, and one day we'll be able to ask all kind of questions. But when the old devil shuffled in, he said, where have you been? Well, just going up and down, you know, going up and down. And, you know, God said, have you considered my servant Job? The devil said, have I considered him? I'd wipe him out, but you've got him covered. I can't touch him. I can't touch anything he's got. I can't touch him. But he said, you know, you withdraw that, God. You withdraw that, and he'll curse you to your face, and he'll turn away from you. And I don't know of any other situation in the Bible like that, but God said, I'll take you up on that, Satan. And I'll prove to you, you know, when you're going through the thick and the fire and the mud and the flames, just remember what Job went through. And if you'll just hold steady, there's victory on the other side. Some of you are in it today. I mean, you don't understand why certain things have happened. I go through things. I don't understand why certain things happen. But you know, if you just keep doing what's right and continue to love and continue to follow the Lord. But God, you know the story. God told Satan, just take everything he's got, but don't take his life. Boy, Satan took him up in a New York minute on that. That's what he'd been waiting for. So he goes, then he comes back. You know the ending of the story. Here's the wealthiest man in the world at that time in an ash heap scraping jagged pottery over his boils. He's lost everything. He's lost everything. He's lost everything. But he didn't lose his faith in God. I know he had some discouraging moments. You've had them and I've had them. There's times I've had to go back and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I mouthed off at the wrong time. You're a good God. You're a faithful God. And I may not understand certain things that are happening, but God, I trust in you. There's nowhere else to go. That's what Peter said. There's nowhere else to go. But you know, the final, I wish everybody who says, I'm just as poor as Job's turkey. That's very appropriate probably for Thanksgiving. But you know, God brought him back with twice as much as he had before. And he lived a long, healthy life after that. Hallelujah. When every creature comfort of life, when wealth and riches and silver and gold and friends and family, when everything fell at his feet, Job still loved God. Hallelujah. And he knew God in a way that he had never known God. I want to talk to God and I want to talk to Job about that, but can you just see God looking down and saying, I trust that man. God didn't send it. The devil sent it. God didn't do that to him. The devil didn't do it. But God did temporarily withdraw the protective wall and security that Job had around him. God had faith in Job's faith. I said God had faith in Job's faith. And I want to encourage you this morning. God has faith in your faith. We're not going to back up, shut up, or let up. We're going through. We're going to see victory on all fronts. And so God remembered Job, and God brought him through, and God rewarded him with twice as much as he had before. Now, he was the richest man in the world at that time. Now he winds up with twice as much as he had before. How did he do that? You don't get riches overnight like that. God was his partner. He was God's partner. Hallelujah. You know, I look at Joseph. I think the longer I read the Bible, the longer I study, I think about Joseph. If there was ever a man who had every opportunity to get ticked with God and just, well, where would he go? But I mean, look at Joseph. Raised in a wealthy family, the apple of his father's eye, wore fine threads, wore fine clothes, and then his own brothers were going to kill him, but they were talked out of that, left him in a pit. How would you feel? You've gone from a wealthy home, well-dressed, to a pit, and all your finery is gone. You don't even know where you are geographically. You kind of have an idea. How would you think about God at that point? But he never missed a beat in living the life, testifying, and doing what God would call him to do. And literally the story of his life, of Joseph's life, is from the pit to the palace. From the pit to the palace. And I want to encourage you. There are some people here this morning that God wants you to be encouraged. God sees your thoughts. God sees your sacrifice. God sees the things that you've done. God sees when no one sees. Maybe the pastor doesn't see. Maybe I don't understand. Whatever. But you do the right thing and you keep on loving and giving and praying. And God's going to see you through on the high side of victory. But you've got to hold to your faith. It's that faith business. Yeah, all of it's that faith business. No matter what you're doing, do it in faith believing. Go to your work in faith believing. Drive your car in faith believing. And I want to put this PS. We need to claim in a new way safety over us personally and safety over your trucks or cars or whatever. You need to say that. You know, we just jump in the car and put the key in the ignition and away we go. And you say, well, doesn't God take care of us? Well, if he hadn't, none of us would be here, that's for sure. But we need to speak supernatural, divine protection. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Father, no accidents as I drive today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, no mechanical problems, no car problems. Amen. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, no tickets. God says, slow down, son. I drive a lot slower than I used to. I had the fastest bicycle in the neighborhood, the fastest go-kart in the neighborhood. I just always got a kick out of speed. You know what I'm talking about. Even if it was a bicycle, I wanted it to look like it was running fast, you know. Praise God. My shadow moved fast indeed. But when you think of Joseph, he did the right thing when no one was looking. He did the right thing when it wasn't cool. He did the right thing when he was the odd man out. He was a slave, bought on a slave platform. And they took him home. And he was a slave. But God help me to understand. He did what he did with such excellence. He didn't have a bad spirit. He wasn't mean-spirited. Had every reason in the world. His family, his brothers tried to kill him and run him off. And then, of course, the ruler's wife lied about her advances toward him and, you know, all of that. But Joseph never missed a lick. Put him in prison, and he starts running the prison. No matter where he is, his trust is in God. And, you know, we need to believe that. You say, well, all I have is a minimum wage job. Just believe you're doing the best minimum wage job of anybody in the world. Just operate with integrity. Tell the truth. Amen. Be honest. Just be a winner. Do what you do with class. Be first class. Hallelujah. Be first class. God wants you to act like a first class believer. Do the right thing. Say the right thing. Be the right thing. When no one's looking, just do right because it's right. And keep your faith on the line and watch what God's going to do in your behalf. Amen and amen. Colonel Sanders was retirement age. Some people say it's 65. When he really launched his finger-licking chicken business in the most unopportune location at the most unopportune time. He walked the aisle, as I remember the story, on a Wednesday night in Wayman Rogers Church. I believe I remember the story like that. Gave his life to Christ. And though he's gone, they still have his image up on the signs, even over in Uganda. We got finger-licking good chicken over there. Wherever you go, you not only see McDonald's, but you see the chicken man that just, he didn't know he was too old. He was 65. He really launched his great successful career at 65. You know, here's the thing. Nothing can pull you down if you'll just hold on to your faith. And I got me a new grip on my faith. Glory to God. Amen. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. No matter what. If they run you out of town, lead the parade. Amen. Praise God. Look good. Smell good. Act good. Be an asset where you work. Do more than you have to do. Just be a quality employee. Because I'm going to tell you something. God remembers and God rewards. I want you to say that with me. God remembers and God rewards. I say it again. God remembers and God rewards. No matter what your age may be, no matter what's going on in your life, God, before the beginning of time up in heaven, knew you'd be sitting in this auditorium of Calvary Cathedral International this morning, and he knew that I'd be giving this message and that you would hear it. And you know, all of heaven saying, what are they going to do with it? What are they going to do with it? Remember, God remembers and God rewards. There's people that have paid a price to stay in this church. There's people that have gone through a lot of things to still be the strength and the tower of strength that they have been to this pastor and to this church. But let me tell you, God will not be obligated to any man. God will not be debtor to any man. Every penny you've ever invested in this house, just get ready, get ready, get ready. It's coming back with compounded interest. Praise God. God remembers and God rewards. Kind of strange. A guy and his family with a bunch of animals in an ark is the only ones that survived the flood because he did what God called him to do. I've been through a few building programs and rebuilding and remodeling. For 120 years, Noah was building the ark. You think you're having it hard for a few hours. Just don't give up. Don't be weary in well-doing. Let me put it this way. When you get weary in well-doing, just start praising the Lord. We all get weary. We all get bummed out every once in a while. But I found you don't make a decision when your mind's tired or when your body's tired. Don't make a major decision. Let yourself catch up on some rest and, you know, give yourself a break before you make a real serious decision that's going to affect you and a lot of other people. That's helped me many, many a time. So the thing that I want to leave us with this morning is God remembers and God rewards. God remembers and God rewards. And just as sure as God made little green apples, He sees everything in your life. He sees every prayer. He hears every prayer. He sees the sacrifices so many of you have made in different ways. But I'm telling you, look at the harvest that we're seeing in our church. Look at the harvest. Just look at the harvest. Look at the harvest. Hallelujah. Even while we're in this auditorium, it's a 50,000 watt television station cranking out the gospel of Christ 24 hours a day over in Kampala, Uganda. A modern day miracle of God. To God be the glory. Amen. So be not weary in well doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be obedient to the words that God has given. And I want to just say in the name of Jesus, I speak blessing over the faithful lives of this audience today. Every man, woman, boy and girl, grandfather, grandmother, whoever they may be, God, I speak blessing. I speak mental blessing. You've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I speak financial blessing, Lord. I speak physical blessings. I speak circumstance blessings. I speak broken relationships. Now, some things were right to break up, and you don't need to mess with that again. But I mean things that Satan just got in the middle of and spoiled. I just say there'll be peace. Peace and reconciliation. Peace and reconciliation in relationships. The ones that need to be. Hallelujah. Just lift your hand and just receive from God right now. We'll dismiss you in a few moments, but this is a sacred moment. God's here to start blessing your silver and gold. God's here to start blessing your prayers. God's here to start blessing your faithfulness. The presence of the Lord is here to enrich your life. It's not what the Wall Street Journal says. It's not what President Obama says or what your friends or neighbors or relatives say. It's what God has said. We must live by what God has said. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Love your Bible, hug your Bible, read your Bible, believe your Bible. Stand on those mighty promises of God. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't let some naysayer ruin your day or ruin your week. Be like some people, they heard that they heard that they heard, so they left and never said a word. Good night. Find out what you're hearing. I don't even know what people are hearing. I'm too busy going forward. Hallelujah. Over in Europe, they say the little dogs bark, but the caravan moves on. That means the parade moves on. Let the little yapping dogs bark, but the parade moves on. Praise God. We're going on to God's best. We're going on to higher ground. We're going to the other side. Hallelujah. It's a new day in Calvary Cathedral International. It's a new day. It's a new day in every way. For me, for you, for all of us. God is bringing in new people that are thrilled with what God's doing in this house. God's bringing them in. And God's going to use all of you in ways that are just awesome. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Well, I believe I've said all that God wanted me to say. God remembers and God rewards. Let's say it again. God remembers and God rewards.